I want to read, I want to say before I read today, is I want to say that I claim no originality for what I'm going to be preaching. This is some of the gleanings of the years from some great men of God that have influenced my life. And I just want to preach, but this is on my heart. And I want to just be sensitive to the Lord and just give Him glory, and I hope that you'll pray for us. As I know you're tired, and I hope you don't get hangry before I get done. But you pray for us that the Lord would help us. All right, Isaiah chapter 6. Let me begin right here in verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face. And with twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me. You know, in the former chapter, he gave 6 woes to Israel. But beyond the 6th woe, he saw God. And now, he says, woe is me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I bow in your presence today, I want to thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for the wonderful preaching of the Word of God and the sweet fellowship of the men of God that we've enjoyed these days. Now, Lord, I ask for your help and your anointing, your unction. Lord, I can do absolutely nothing in myself. I acknowledge that. Lord, will you please help us, God? I pray, Lord, you'll speak for us today. I pray the message, Lord, will exalt thee, Lord, in such a way that we'll all go out with a better appreciation of our God and of this Bible. Lord, help us today. I pray Jesus to be magnified through it all, and you'd help your people as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I've read this text to you this morning, you find here before us the sight of the sovereign. Number 2, the song of the seraphims. And number 3, the sorrow over sinful self. But I'm interested in the second one, and I want to preach on this subject. The song the seraphims sing. The song the seraphims sing. They sing, holy, holy, holy. The seraphim, the seraph burning fiery, these are celestial beings. They appear to be actual angelic beings, and they have 6 wings and human hands and voices in attendance to God, crying, holy, holy, holy. The seraphim are different than the cherubim in this respect. They have 6 wings, where the cherubim had 4 wings. They are similar, but they are different. Now, if these are the same that John mentions in Revelation chapter number 4, you'll find there that John calls them beasts full of eyes before and behind. And in verse 8, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rushed up day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Here are choir of the seraphim, and this is their song. Each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces, suggesting humility. With two, they covered their feet, suggesting reverence. With two, they did fly, suggesting their service to the Lord. They were full of eyes before and behind. This would symbolize an intense intelligence that they possess, looking backward to the past, forward to the future, inward at the nature of things. My friend, they were able to direct their ways with unlimited penetration and discernment, so that when they looked upon God from every angle, amen, in every way, past, present, future, inside, outside, up, down, around, they just have to say, "He's holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is." I'm glad he was. I'm glad he will be. But he is. He is. There's the seraphim. Their song is of the holiness of God. Holy, Webster tells us, means consecrated, sacred. Number two, spiritually pure. Number three, being sinless. Webster, number four, definition, deserving reverence and worship. And our God is worthy of our worship. The Hebrew term for holy is the word kadosh here in our text. It is from a primitive root kadesh, which means to be clean, morally, ceremonially. It means to consecrate, to dedicate, hallow, purity, purify, sanctity, and it means to be holy. That is the Hebrew term in Hebrews chapter number, in Isaiah chapter number 6. But in Revelation, you have the Greek word holy, holy, holy. It is, of course, the word hagios. And hagios means an awful thing, an awesome thing. Oh, yes. Sacred, pure, and blameless. Amen. Blameless. Blameless. He ain't never done wrong. Never thought wrong. He's always done right. Amen. Abraham said, "Shall not the Lord of all the earth do right?" Absolutely. Always. Blameless, ceremonially consecrated, most holy. Oh yes, even the word saint, the word hagios. Well, the biblical term for holiness always suggests this: righteousness, sanctity, purity, separate from sin, cleanness. And we're referring to God Himself, my friend, majesty and glory. Well, I will expound a while on the holiness of God. May I say, as we began to expound on this subject, let me tell you right off the bat that it is far beyond us. To expound it in its fullness or even to grasp it, for to know the holiness of God in an absolute sense, we would have to know everything God knows and everything that He does. My friend, because holiness is interwoven in everything God knows and in everything God does. In fact, in everything God is. Holy, He's holy. It is impossible for the finite to grasp the infinite. Isn't that right? God is so great that all of man's knowledge combined past, present, and even future. If all a man's technology and all a man's understanding, he cannot grasp or understand not one of the attributes of God in its entirety. I would say to you that with man thinks he's so smart, but you got to know this. Man who thinks he's so smart does not know everything about anything. Much less the things of a thrice holy God. Oh, my soul, we'd just as well try to examine the sun with a flashlight as to try to expound the holiness of God in its entirety. It can't be done. It can't be done. That being said, however, I want to say that we, through the revelation of the good word of God and by the Holy Ghost of God's inspiration and understanding given us, we can catch a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the holiness of God. I don't think we could catch more than a glimpse, my friend, as long as we are in this frail frame of a body. It would burn us up if we saw God in all of His glory. That's the reason we're going to have a glorified body to be able to behold Him in His glory. But I, for a few moments feebly, will try to expound upon the holiness of God in three areas. Number one, I would talk about the uniqueness of His holiness. Number two, I would talk about the understanding of it. And number three, I will talk about the unveiling of His holiness. First of all, let me say a word about the uniqueness of His holiness. I say that God is not the best God. You see, best is a comparative term. Good, better, best. Oh, He's beyond best. Down in Columbia, South Carolina, I've preached several meetings down in that area, and I don't mean this is not a racial slur, but down there they all talk like black folk. They do. I mean, down there really, they'll say, that's not a door over there, that's a door. That's not a floor, then that's a flow. I mean, black, white, they all talk the same way. And they got a saying down there, can I borrow your shovel? They'll say, well, yeah, preacher, you can borrow my shovel. But it's the onlyest one I got. Now, onlyest is not good English. But God's the onlyest. He's not just good. He's not just better. He's not just best. He's the onlyest. Oh, my soul. And when you're talking about the holiness of God, my friend, you're talking about something unique. The Bible said in Revelations 15:4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. 1 Samuel 2:2, for there is none holy as the Lord. Oh, my soul. You say, well, Brother Rudy, aren't we to be holy? Yes. But our holiness, my friend, will never come up to His. He's in a class all by Himself. What holiness we have has been imparted unto us and imputed unto us. Amen? Though God is not just the head of the class, He's uniquely in a class all by Himself. Our God is uniquely holy, independently holy, infinitely holy, immutably holy. The sum of all moral excellence is found in Him. Holiness is the way God is. Holiness is who God is. And he don't have to conform to some standard to be holy. Because he is the standard. He's holy. The uniqueness of God's holiness. Number two, I would say a word about the understanding of God's holiness. The understanding of his holiness. It's described in terms, number one, of absolute purity. Absolute purity. His holiness is free. Free from all evil. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is absolutely holy. There's no darkness in him. James said, amen, there's no variableness, nor shadow of turning. He's not oscillating one way this day and another way that way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was holy yesterday. He's holy today. He'll be holy tomorrow. He's holy. May I say with our other brethren that preach today, that God cannot approve of, encourage, or will anything evil. But God perfectly hates sin. And we've let this twisted society that we're living in cow us down about taking a stand. They say, well, you're full of hate. Hey, you can't love God without hating sin. You'll never have positive if you don't have some negative. Amen, brother. God abhors all iniquity. We live in an hour when there's no reverence, there's no fear of God, there's no respect of God. The God of this generation, my friend, has no demands on the life. And my friend, there's, oh yeah, it's just come as you are, live as you please. Go and do what you want to. Be entertained. Be hello. Have a little religious experience and go on living like the devil. Hey, hey, I believe we need to know that our God is a holy God. Amen. 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 Oh, my soul. God abhors all iniquity. He does so. Holiness can no more approve of sin than commit it. God cannot cease from being holy even any more than he could cease from being God. God's very nature is holiness. And he cannot and will not act contrary to his own nature. Habakkuk said, amen, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One, thou art pure of pure eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. When Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, and from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was a darkness over all the land. And at the end of that ninth hour, Jesus cried, Eloi! Eloi! Lama sabachthani! What did he cry? My God! My God! Why hast thou forsaken me? You know what happened right then? Jesus became sin for us. There on Calvary's cruel tree, God made him to become sin. And God is so holy, amen, that God could not look on iniquity. So the Father, my God, and the Holy Ghost,
turned their back, as it were, on He who became sin. Oh, our God is a holy God, and He hates sin. If you don't think He hates sin, look at Calvary. His holiness, absolute purity. His holiness is free. His holiness is flawless. Flawless in the fullest extent. Now you may say, well, Brother Rudy, isn't God's holiness flawed in the fact that Adam fell and sin entered into the world? Didn't God mess up? Well, let me say this. His holiness is not blemished in creating man a rational being and giving him a will and making him a free moral agent. God, He didn't make a robot. He made a man and gave him a will. And God's holiness is not flawed by that. You say, well, isn't His holiness blemished by giving a command which God knew Adam would not keep? Oh, no. You see, for it was not above Adam's ability to keep it. Adam's sin was his own free choice. You say, well, isn't God's holiness blemished by the fact that He suffered sin to enter into the world? God did not will sin. It was not made by a created act of God. As creation was, sin was an unwanted intruder in God's creation. All unholiness is vile and opposite to God's nature. God hates sin. But I'm sure glad He loves the sinner. Oh, my soul. Absolute purity. Then God's holiness, I would say number two, in terms of absolute perfection. Amen. Psalm 18:30, as for God, His way is perfect. Someone said, power is God's arm. Omniscience is His eyes. Mercy is His bowels. Eternity is His duration and His habitation. But holiness is His beauty. The Bible said, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is not only His beauty. Holiness is His glory. Oh, yes, in the book of Exodus 15 and verse 11, who is like unto the Lord among the gods? Who is like unto thee? Glorious in holiness. Amen. Holiness is His glory. Amen. And then in our text, holiness is His song. His song. This song, it wasn't great, great, great. It wasn't good, good, good. It wasn't mercy, mercy, mercy. But it was holy, holy. Holy! Holiness is essential to the very being of God. Holiness originates from Him. If angels are holy, God made them so. Even the devil, when he was made perfect, and he was holy until pride entered his heart, and he sinned against God, because angels too had a will. Amen. And they left their first estate. But I want to say, brother and sister, if there is a holy angel, God made them holy. Right. If, amen, if saints are holy, God makes them holy. Oh yes, I'm talking about the holiness of God. Absolute purity and absolute perfection. Holiness, holiness is the glory of God's nature. Brother and sister, everything that has the slightest relation to Him is called holy. His name is holy. His throne is holy. His dwelling is holy. His mountain is holy. His promise is holy. His word is holy. His covenant is holy. His law is holy. His statutes are holy. His people are holy people. His prophets are holy. Amen. His Son is holy. He's holy. Holy Ghost is holy. And in both the Old and Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4, it's holy, holy, holy. Holy one for the Father. Holy one for the Son. Holy one for the Holy Ghost. They're all three holy. They're all three one. And one is three. Explain that I can't. But I believe it. Hallelujah. And He is holy. You know, and God swears by His holiness. I read that in Psalm 89. Verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. God's holiness is unalterable, eternal, and unchanging. Well, something about the uniqueness of God's holiness, something about the understanding of God's holiness. And then a final glimpse today, I would mention something about the unveiling of God's holiness. Unveiling God's holiness. First of all, holiness is seen in creation. Psalm 145 said this in verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. All His works are holy. At the beginning, God pronounced this on everything He made. He said it was good. Amen? He said it was very good, which He could not have done if there had been anything unholy or imperfect in all that He made. Only the excellent can proceed from our God. God made man perfect. He made him in His own image and His own likeness. But He gave man a volition. God gave him volition because God was wanting love. And love is a choice. Amen. Oh my soul. And I think about, brother and sister, the unveiling of God's whole, everything He made was good, was very good. And everything God does or has anything to do with, my friend, is good and holy. It's very holy. Number two, I would mention the holiness of God as seen in His commandments. Oh yes, Romans 7:12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandments holy and just and good. The law reveals the high standards of God's holiness. And at the same time, it shows up the inability of failing flesh to adhere to them. The law was our schoolmaster to teach us, my friend. We couldn't approach the high standards of God. We fall short in every area. Oh, but I'm telling you what, God's Word is a holy Word. I would mention, and I'm just skipping through some of this because I know you'll be hangry in a minute. I would mention not only holiness is seen in creation, Holiness is seen in the commandments. But I think holiness, brother and sister, may be seen clearer than here than any other place. Holiness is seen at the cross. Great love was seen there. Great grace was shown there. But great holiness was satisfied there. Even while the wrath of God was being poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, Christ in His heart made this prayer to God, Psalm 22 and verse 3. And He says to God, while hanging there, bleeding there, and dying there for me, He says to God, but Thou art holy. My friend, when you think about holiness of God at the cross, because God is holy, He hates sin, we've said that. And you can see God's holiness, my friend, expressed in holy hatred against sin. How hateful sin must be to God for Him to punish His Son like He did. I got to get to the cross in my preaching, brother. I'll tell you what. Let me say, when I was a kid, some of you older ones would remember this. We used to go out and buy about a quarter. You could buy a magnifying glass about that big around. And you get that magnifying glass, and you go out on a sunny day, get you a block of wood, and focus that thing in, and burn your initials on that block of wood. You ever done that? Well, some of you have. Well, how is that? You can take that same piece of wood and lay it out on the hottest summer day in the world, and my friend, it'll never do nothing. But you take that magnifying glass, and what it does, it concentrates all the beams to a focal point. And that, whew. And there at Calvary, oh my soul, Jesus did not just suffer like no other man suffered, but God brought all the wrath of God, your hell, my hell, your hell, my hell, brought it all on Him. He paid it all. He paid it all. Bless His name. He didn't pay a down payment. He paid it all. He's not paying installments. He paid it all. God made Him to become sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Holiness demands that sin be punished. There is no such thing as unpunished sin. It's not going to escape. God has often forgiven sinners, but He never forgives sin. Now you had to chew on that a while. You think I'm a heretic. I said God has often forgiven sinners, but He doesn't forgive sin. All sin must be punished. The sinner is only forgiven on the grounds that somebody else has taken the place and bore the punishment, and His name is Jesus. He paid the sin debt. He paid it all. He took my hell. He took your hell. He took eternal punishment on Himself.
Bless you, Lord.
I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. I wasn't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad, hallelujah, that he took my place. He bore my sin in his own body on the tree. Endured the Christ cross, despised the shame. Tasted death for every man. Amen. Laid his life down, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Gave up the ghost. Hey, I'm telling you what, 3 days later, he got up again and he carried that same blood that he shed all the way into glory. And there, my friend, he presented it to God. Hallelujah. Well, he paid it all, children. Think about it. Either your sin is punished in Christ as your substitute, or you must pay for it or try to pay for it yourself with eternal damnation and never get the debt satisfied. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, God is so holy. Look how he punished Jesus. How hateful sin is to God. For one sin, he banished Adam and Eve. For one sin, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. For one sin, Elijah's servant was smitten with leprosy. For one sin, Ananias and Sapphira died at the church house. For one sin, the nation of Israel has suffered like no other nation on earth because they rejected their Messiah. How hateful sin is to God. There therefore must be a satisfaction of the holiness of God in either eternal damnation or in the payment of the mediator. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I got somebody standing in my place. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. At Calvary. We not only see God's holy hatred for the sin, but we also see God's holy love for sinners. Oh my soul, I got to end right here. I want you to see number five, holiness, not only in creation and in the commandments and in Calvary. There's number four, but holiness as seen in the church. His holiness is reflected in this dark world through the church. All right. You see, God wants his church to be holy. God said this in Peter, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hebrews said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see God. Oh my, so God means for us to be holy. Well, we think about the moon and the sun. The sun shines bright and it's shining now. Jesus is called the Son of Righteousness in Malachi, rising with healing in his wings. But the church is like the moon. The moon don't have any light of its own. The moon, hello, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said to the church, ye are the light of the world. The moon don't have any light of its own. The only way the moon can shine is by looking at the sun. And the only way the church can shine is by looking at the sun. I was looking at the moon the other day, and it has all kind of craters, all kind of marks. Yeah, I mean, there's black spots all over it. I mean, You don't have to be perfect, amen, to look at the sun and reflect. You say, I messed up. Well, you may have a crater here and a crater of failure there, but you get looking full face at the burning sun of God, and you can still shine for Jesus. The holiness we have is an imputed holiness and an imparted holiness. And what God puts in you, He expects to work out. You know, that Bible said, work out your own salvation. Oh, yeah, it did say that. It said, work out your own salvation. But don't stop reading there. You can't work out something God hadn't worked in. Work out your own salvation, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. God ever works in you, bless God, it'll work out. We get a lot of folk, my friend, making professions, and they come as they went, or they come as and go as they went. There's no change. Hello? They're still a doping, they're still a fornicating, they're still running with the world. When God saved me, He changed me. I by no means am perfect, and I've got a lot of flaws, and there's a lot of craters in this old moon. But oh my soul, I'm so glad for what He did in my life, and I can still shine as I look at Him. Whew. I want to run a rabbit right there, but I ain't got time. Y'all are angry. I'm done with this. Consider the holiness of the church. I'm almost done. Hey, get you something ready to sing. Get on that piano right now. I'm going to pull a Mark Stroud right here. Yeah, I've had him a long time ago. The holiness in the church. Brethren, we have a holy calling, a holy commission. We celebrate a holy communion. Our worship ought to be a holy worship. Our walk ought to be a holy walk. Our warfare is a holy warfare. Amen. Our service is a holy song, church. Our songs ought to be holy songs. Amen. Our sermons ought to be holy sermons. We embrace holy promises. And we enjoy a holy fellowship. We have been purchased with holy blood. Not the blood of man, but the blood of God. Acts 20. By a holy Savior. Led by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Bible, and we're to live a holy life, and we are headed to a holy city. And one day, hallelujah, one day we'll get to stand in that city, and we'll get to hear, holy! 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 And we'll answer, worthy, 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 worthy. Well, I bless the Lord. Amen.